Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask for your wisdom today and warnings of the things to come and even the blessings of the things to come. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us discernment and wisdom and receiving that which is of you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to continue with Preserved from the Beast. This is number 14. And we're going to first share Claire Pinard's revelation that she got on 9:10. We called it The Bride Overcomes, Escapes the Beast and the Harlot. She said, I dreamed I was cycling inside a very large cylindrical iron tube. I believe I represent the corporate body of the bride in this dream. Along the edges of each side of the tube were train tracks. I was cycling in between the middle of the two train tracks. I cycled through in one direction, going in one way, and I knew I'd need to go back home eventually, so I did a loop, or a U-turn, over the green grass. Well, the grass represents the flesh coming against the flesh here, and made my way back through the tube or cylinder. This could represent going through the same trial of faith more than once. Well, we do that. The first time, she said, is sometimes easier than the second time to see a healing or something else that we are exercising our faith for to manifest in a certain area of our lives. And, you know, sometimes the second time you don't fail as bad as you did the first time, which is progress, you know. And, you know, the more you know about God's work in your life, the more you can cooperate with him and get it right, you know. Well, she said, during this loop or U-turn, we are built up by overcoming more flesh and putting our flesh under submission to the Word. Well, we see the value of obeying, you know, because of the curse, right? And 1 Peter 1:24-25 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached unto you. So, she said, the bride are the righteous ones who are afforded the opportunity to overcome and be matured in Christ before the great tribulation, so that they're able to help others attain to the same maturity. This is true. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on towards the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yep, we don't have time to look back. We don't have time now to waste. It's time to press on. Keep your eyes on the faith, your eyes on the Lord. As I crossed back through the cylindrical tube, there was a boy who was coming my way. But when I got closer, he looked like a grown-up member from the UBM Fellowship Outreach. He didn't want to get his bike wet, so he was trying to balance his bike on the edge of the train track. he was trying everything to keep his bike dry. Well, he was trying to avoid the curse, which is in the water of the Word, as we will see. The purpose of the curse is to turn us from sin and keep us on the narrow road, like the track. Right, a narrow road. I just rode past him on my bike from the other direction, and right at the edge of the cylinder before I came to the other side, I fell. I felt no embarrassment or shame because of this. Well, we know that God chastens every son that he receives, and that chastening is part of the curse. The curse is what waits there for us to get out of line, like a bicycle can do, and chasten us, right? And she went on to say, the water was a little dirty or muddy, but it was very shallow. Well, we get admonishments or corrections when we fail. She said the shallow waters represent the mild judgments. It's better to receive this now than the deep water judgments in the days of the Great Tribulation. So we're going through boot camp here, folks. We don't worry about the problems. Get up, go again. She goes on to say, we are sometimes going to fail, but we must get up and continue to ride to glory, seeing the crown of righteousness set before us. Well, if we waver not in doing good while having faith, because that is accounted as righteousness, right? We're accounted as righteous as we walk with our eyes on the Lord instead of on our failures, right? 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. We want the Lord manifested in us, and we love that. That's why we keep on going, right? We cast down all the hindrances and keep on going. She said, I did not care that I fell, which surprised me because I don't usually like failure. She said, we sometimes fail as we strive to attain perfection through Christ. Well, this reminds us to have our faith in him rather than ourselves or man's works. It takes a while for us to get out of man's works and self-effort to save self, which is not possible. She went on to say, our salvation is progressive. This is true. It's not going to happen in one fell swoop. It's here a little and there a little, as the Bible says in Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Amen. That's the grace and patience of our Father to gently correct us and bring us up at the same time. Amen. She said, I just got back up on my bike and kept going. And this represents pressing on towards the high calling in Christ Jesus. Some people don't get back up, believe it or not. They say, it doesn't work for me, so they go the other way. Well, the problem is never God. It's always us. You know? The boy shouted after me. He said, you ride so well, like a champ. I knew I had inspired him, but I know it wasn't really me. It was Jesus in me. Yes, we are surrounded by many witnesses, and as they watch us overcome our trials, their faith is strengthened to overcome their own trials. Right? Colossians 1, 26 through 28, even the mystery which hath been hid for ages and generations, but now hath it been manifested to his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is no hope for you to reach glory without Christ in you. And we reckon ourselves to be dead in sin, but alive unto God. We reckon that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us, right? and that faith God accepts as righteousness, whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Amen. She said, then after this foray in the cylinder, I climbed up into something that looked like a subway. I believe a subway represents the path of death to self. It's being buried with Christ, right? We go through these deaths of self and failures of the old man to save himself or whatever, you know. We go through these in order to come to the place where we put all of our faith in him. I knew it was steep because I felt sweat beads trickling down my forehead when I got to the top. And she got Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Get up and go again. If you fail, get up and go again. Forget the things which are behind. The devil likes to remind you of your failures. Just remind him of his future when he does that. She said, a big disabled woman was standing there with a small, thin, disabled boy and her husband. Well, I believe this big woman is the corporate body of those big in the flesh, whose husband represents another Jesus that this harlot apostate church is submitted to. She was huge and took up most of the space on the platform. Well, currently the apostate megachurches and their false prophet pastors are taking up the majority of the world platform or stage, and they're getting most of the attention from people who think that this is the real church. How sad they are. She went on to say, she represents the corporate body of the harlot or apostate church, which has been disabled from the beginning with small, feeble fruit, just like her. Okay, so they're both crippled, right? The Jesus that they know is weak and sickly and has no power to save or to heal or to deliver from the curses of this world. She said, I reached up to wave to the large woman to motion to her that I'd be squeezing past her. Yeah. Well, those in the corporate bride and the man-child have escaped the apostate church system. And they've moved on ahead, right? And suddenly a huge black cane swatted my hand. I looked to my left, and there was another huge old couple. The woman had short silver hair and looked almost like a man. This old couple represents the beast, who is getting disgusted with the harlot, as we're going to see, and as Scripture tells us will happen. She said to the disabled woman with her disabled child, time's up. Now she's talking to the apostate church here, right? And their crippled fruit, or the crippled members of her body, right? Time's up, this second woman said. I've had enough of you and your problems. Move out of the way. The woman of the couple representing the beast did not see me nor realize I was standing almost at the top, ready to squeeze past. Well, this reminds us of a text in Revelation, this whole little story here, Revelation 17, 7 through 18. I'll tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder they whose name hath not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast, how that he was and is not and shall come. Well, let me say, this beast is a corporate body beast. It's made up of the seed of all previous beasts that was mentioned in Revelation and Daniel, right? And they were called beasts of their time, but the seed is still with us. And each succeeding beast of history was and is not and shall come. That's right, because their seed is being raised up today in one body now. So it goes on to say in verse 9, here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. Mountains represent kingdoms, and those were beast kingdoms. The seven beasts of history, whose seed are in the one world order beast today. So the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. But not for long. They're tired. They like to use religion to get their way. Politicians do. But they get tired of that because they know the foolishness. Even the world can see through the foolishness of the apostate church. And they are seven kings. Five are fallen. The one is, and that was Rome at that particular time. That was the beast that was in control at that time. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a little while. That's the dragon, right? And the beast that was and is not is himself also an eighth. So all seven are in the eighth. Yeah. And is of the seven. There it is right there. And he goeth into perdition or destruction. And the ten horns that thou sawest are ten kings. That's the ten continental divisions of the earth. They're trying to break down the patriotism in nations, which causes wars, by the way, and they know that. So they're dividing up these into continental divisions in order to stop this. Same thing kind of Constantine kind of did, you know. Who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. Now this is the second beast, and that 1 hour is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. These have one mind, and they give their power and authority to the beast. Yep. They all have come together in one world order. And they are one in Satan, as was the dragon before them. The dragon beast before them was said to be Satan, but he was in a body of these seven heads and ten horns. Right? Verse 14. These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they also shall overcome that are with him, called and chosen and faithful. In other words, you can't just be called. You have to be called and chosen. The people who are chosen are the people who will be faithful. And he saith unto me, the water which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And, of course, these dead religions from the very beginning have ruled over the peoples of all the nations. And the ten horns which thou sawest and the beast, these shall hate the harlot. Here it is right here. That you noticed this is the same as the dream, right? These shall hate the harlot and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and shall burn her utterly with fire. They're going to plunder the harlot. As they said, time's up. I've had enough of you and your problems. Move out of the way. Right? Okay. So verse 17 here says, for God did put in their hearts to do his mind and to come to one mind and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God should be accomplished. Now remember, the beast is going to destroy the harlot. And God says, come out of her, my people. So you're not partakers of that judgment. So there's a high motivation for people to come out of the harlot. and follow the Lord. And the woman whom thou sawest is the great city. That's the Babylonian harlot, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And then she said, Daniel, my son, I believe he was representing Jesus in the man-child, had already squeezed past these two women under the cane and was standing very close to a busy street. Well, our man-child has already escaped the beast and harlot through faith, and we must follow him. God is raising him up. We must follow him. He leads us past these two groups easily. He was waiting for me, and I was anxious to get to him. Yes, people are going to seek out the man-child. So the bride of Christ is anxious to be united with the man-child in whom is Jesus, her heavenly husband. You notice the opposites, poles here, you know, between the harlot and the true people of God. I said sweetly and quietly to the older couple on my left, excuse me, I must get to my son. I won't be but a minute. And the second old woman with short hair, representing that spirit of Jezebel, said, not a chance. Her husband, the beast, boomed back at me. No. Then he said, leave him there. So this is the same as it was throughout history, actually, but in Jesus' day, these two, the beast and the harlot, do not want the people to turn to the man-child, and did what they could to stop this, and as so they will in this day too, because the man-child is teaching them to beat the beast and the harlot. I was now squeezing past them anyway. I replied, would you leave a small boy next to a busy street unaided? Yeah, the members of the beast and the harlot are Satanists, and they are into child sacrifice in the natural, which tells you what they are in the spiritual, too. Spiritually speaking, they would love to see God's people abandon the real Jesus and the man-child. That's throughout history. There have been man-child representations throughout history, and the same two made war against them. I don't remember what he replied, but I looked into his mouth, and his teeth were yellowed and falling out. Yeah, take out the teeth of the lions, right? So this is representing that he really has no teeth to harm those in the bride. And under his tongue, she said, he had a black valve like he was being blown up from another source. Well, this other source is Satan, who gives these entities that make up the beast and the harlot their power and authority. Yeah. I said, you look like a sensible man, but sadly, there's not an inch of sensibility in you. I am going to my son now. And as I moved this cane out of the way, well, the black cane represents the rod of the beast's authority in the world. This rod has no authority over the bride. I took Daniel by the hand and crossed the busy street and then waited at the pedestrian crossing for the light to turn green. And, this represents getting the green light to cross the Red Sea and enter the wilderness tribulation, I think. Yeah. We were in a great hurry. There were people in front of us, and I spoke to them about letting us go ahead of them when the light turned, and they agreed. And then I woke up. And, of course, they do pass up all the people around them, you know, to enter the kingdom, right? I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random for this dream and received Ezekiel 30, 21 through 22. With my finger on, broken the arm of Pharaoh. Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, And lo, it hath not been bound up to apply healing medicines, to put a bandage to bind it, that it be strong to hold the sword. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and will break his arms, the strong arm and that which was broken, and I will cause the sword to fall out of his hand. Yes, thank you, Lord, she says, you have broken the power of the beast. Okay, the beast has authority to crucify, you know that, and once you're crucified, that's it. God's in control of this whole situation, right? So now we're going to go to Vanessa Weeks' revelation on 9/29, this 2021. We called it Beast-Engineered Energy and Food Shortages. They're trying to bring people into control, into their control. And Vanessa said, I dreamed I was standing on the sidewalk in front of an Atlantic and Pacific grocery store. That's A&P. Some of y'all probably don't remember A&P, but I do. And this is representing that this dream is occurring all over the United States from the Atlantic to the Pacific. Okay. In the dream, I was thinking about Kathy, which means pure, Lakeisha's mom, telling me she used to work at an A&P in Texas, meaning friends. Texas means friends. And I believe that this is signifying that a pure message given to the friends of God is in this revelation. The outside of the store was box-shaped like Kentucky Fried Chicken. So the fast food stores are going down too. And it was all orange and brown, except for the white letters of A&P and the white picture of Colonel Sanders on the signage. So orange and brown are fall colors, right? Fall is a play on words. It's been prophesied that the fall would happen at the time when the leaves were falling from the trees. And also, all of the major historical stock market crashes happened in the fall. The fall of everything deep state is happening now. The fall of the factions is happening. The economy, the voting, the forced vaccinations, the news media, the internet, the deep state satellites, electricity, hidden technologies are about to be revealed, ancient medical techniques, etc. So God is giving us a short time to prepare the church for the Great Tribulation, when liberal communists will once again gain control to bring the church to her cross. All the great things coming now will ultimately be given over to the last beast. We're not going to need them anyway, right? So she said, I wondered if the store was open, and I looked into a front window and saw small tables and chairs like a restaurant. All of the lights were out. It was the middle of the day, and I realized it was closed. So they are being closed from the Atlantic to the Pacific, right? Yes. The deep state has been destroying all the food sources to break the supply chain. The restaurant being closed represents the shutdown of the economy and the food shortage. Many restaurants that survived the initial lockdowns are having to close now due to the vaccine mandates, which are deterring vaccine-hesitant people from patronizing these establishments, right? In addition, restaurant owners are having to hire extra staff to enforce the mandates and check and verify everyone's vaccination cards and these kind of things. All of this silly, evil stuff is being realized even by the liberals, and it's going to fall. Communism, liberalism, the Democratic Party are falling, and it's going to be for a short time to give us time to rebuild the kingdom, as the Lord has told us. But I opened the front door and went in anyway. It was very dim there, and I saw cobwebs everywhere. Cobwebs, I believe, represent that they will be closed for a while, a delay. This is a warning, okay? Remember that. This is a warning. This is not a prophecy of what is going to happen. It's a warning that this shouldn't happen. Then I knew that this store had gone out of business because they could not pay their debts. This is what actually happened to A&P, but I did not know that until after I had this dream. Well, the easy money printing policies of the Fed has caused a massive debt bubble that's eventually going to bankrupt the world, which is in the plan, by the way, and cause a global reset. That's in the plan, too. They're bringing down the deep state's power, influence, money, in order to switch it over to this new beast. Many small businesses and individuals will be the hardest hit casualties of the deep state planned financial collapse. The GCR, I believe, will infuse tons of money to turn this around as Trump goes back officially in office. And I say officially all the time because he never left office. Okay, he's been ruling over the military. They've been letting people see what it's like to live under a bunch of communists. There were stairs in the middle of the restaurant, and I walked up to the stairs, and I saw empty cardboard boxes, like this was their supply room. And I believe this represents shipping and receiving failed, supply lines failed. The supply chain shortages is breaking the backs of businesses and industry all over the world. I noticed Walmart's got less and less in there because they're basically supplied by China, because they're in total agreement with China. God's chastening them. Okay? But we can go down the street to Food City. It's got everything there. Everything. They are not tied to China. They get local stuff, too. So anyway, as I walked back down the stairs, I saw many cobwebs. And this is a warning that they're not, if they're not brought back quickly as suspected, that there will be a delay. And we have been warned to pray against this warned delay. Okay? So look at what's happening. Your prayers count, right? So Vanessa said, back at the lower level, which looked like a restaurant, I saw that people had left things behind very suddenly. And this represents that these events are taking place very quickly and suddenly before most people who are not awake have time to prepare. Oh, yes, we know there's going to be martial law, and they'll be out there feeding people and so on and so forth. Martial law is what they need to go out there and arrest all the people they want to arrest and to take over these deep state liberal governments in the states and so on and so forth. They're going to do it. I also saw a few original Edison light bulbs hanging from the ceiling and knew that this store was only getting electricity 2 or 3 hours a day. Well, many countries around the world are experiencing an engineered energy crisis and are having to ration electricity, which I believe will soon fail. The Edison light bulb I'm going to share with you, I believe, is talking about that original light, right? We've got to turn back to the original light. So, she said, after I woke up, I thought that maybe this has to do with the electric energy being switched over to Tesla energy. Some of you people don't believe us on this, but this is the plan. And it is in the works, and they've been working on it for a while, and they're about ready to do it. The stores closed when electricity was failing, and before it was changed to Tesla Free Energy. The system failed for lack of electricity and supply lines. Vehicles need gas and diesel. Electric pumps at the stations have to run, you know. I asked the Lord if we should pray that the electrical switchover and supply lines would be restored quickly, and got a yes. In other words, this is not a prophecy of what is going to happen. It's a prophecy of what's going to happen if we don't pray. This dream is a warning that if Christians do not pray, this switchover to the new economy and new electricity will fail. I asked the Lord for a word about what He wants to say about this, and received by faith at random Psalm 110, 7, in context 1 through 7. The Lord saith unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Well, the beast and the harlot. You know, the Lord is not going to get up and come here and take over. First of all, the beast and the harlot have to be conquered. Notice, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord will send forth the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Ah, there's where He's coming from. That's Jesus and the man-child. Right? The man-child body of reformers. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people offer themselves willingly, you know, as bodies, as vessels, right, in the day of thy power. So, in prayer and faithful warfare, we will beat this beast. In holy array, out of the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. God's bringing back Jesus, the man-child. The dew of the youth, right? The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, this is Jesus in the man-child body. He's in of the order. An order is not just one or two. It's an order. It continues, you see. Verse 5, the Lord at thy right hand will strike through kings in the day of His wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill the places with dead bodies. He will strike through the head in many countries. This is exactly what the alliance is doing, striking through the heads of the deep state leadership in many countries. And, of course, as we come to the day, great and terrible day of the Lord, at the end, the same thing is going to be happening. It's just that we've got two cycles of this. One's for the man-child and bride's perfection, and one is for the church's perfection. So we're going through two cycles of this, a smaller one and then a larger one. He'll strike through the heads of the deep state leadership in many countries, and this is the Red Sea for the deep state. Massive arrests are coming in the days of darkness. Yes, the days of darkness are upon us, and they're going to go out when they turn martial law, and when the nations who have all been practicing their militaries, jump on the deep state and take them out. He will drink of the brook in the way, therefore will he lift up the head. This sounds very much like Samson. Samson fought a very heroic battle, killing 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, but was about to lose for lack of water in Judges 15, 14 through 19. So God clave the hollow place at Lehi to give him water. So it should be with us. We need to partake of the water of the Word, and it's faith in order to win here. We have to exercise our faith. We have to exercise our authority to pray and to do spiritual warfare. And if we pray like he did, like Samson did, we will win because we're trusting in God, right? She said, I also asked him about the Edison light bulb and received by faith at random, Zephaniah 3 and 10, in context, 7 through 13. I said, surely you will fear me, you will accept correction. Then your dwelling would not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed against you. So Christians must repent of their wandering from the Word and cling to the ancient light given to the apostolic forefathers, right? If they do, they will walk in the steps of Jesus, and victory will be won. But all the more they were eager to make all their deeds corrupt. Yes, Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. They came against him. They turned against the Word to be taken into beast captivity. Right? It happens every time. History just repeats. Verse 8, therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to seize the prey. Judgment is going to fall on the apostates. For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, all of my burning anger. For in the fire of my jealousy all the earth shall be consumed. For at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech. Yes, we're commanded, if we speak, to speak as an oracle of God. Say what God says, right? Agree with what he says. That all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. Verse 10, for beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. So Christians who are walking in darkness must confess their sins and claim the blood of the Lamb for their sacrifice, calling upon the Lord. On that day you shall not be put to shame because of the deeds by which you have rebelled against me, for then I will remove from your midst your proudly exultant ones. Yes, the faction is going to be removed. They are the Judases. They have come against the saints. And you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain, but I will leave in your midst a people humble and lowly, and they shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord. Those who are left in Israel, they shall do no injustice and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue. Well, they have to get rid of the faction then, because that's all they do, is lie and speak slander. For they shall graze and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. God is going to remove them. The bride is arriving at this place in God at this particular time, but the church is nowhere near this place in God yet. That's why the tribulation is coming. Okay. If you don't know the difference between the bride and the church, read Esther. Read Song of Solomon. You can see it plainly there. So we must now repent and, like Esther, turn this Haman to his Red Sea, and raise up the man, child, and bride by faith in order to defend the people who repent. Let us cast down the delays by the deep state and push them to the Red Sea so that the people can have revival on the other side. Remember, they had a big party on the other side after Pharaoh's army was all stretched out on the beach there, dead. And, of course, that's where the wilderness tribulation begins. That revival begins the wilderness tribulation. Many people who have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, which is overwhelming majority of Christianity, are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Father. Okay, the bride is in the ark. This is Clara Pinars, 10:4-21. I dreamed that I... And I believe Claire is being used here as a type of the bride. Claire means brilliance, like that of the bride's lampros garment, spoken of in Revelation. I was standing in a doorway, in a wooden doorway, when we know Jesus is the door, right? I was leaning my head on the right side of the door frame, looking out. And, amen, Rion said, standing in the doorway and leaning your head on the right side represents walking in the way of the Lord and giving up the mind of the flesh and resting in the finished work of the wooden cross. Amen. And Christ is the entrance or the doorway into the ark. There was nothing behind me. This represents forgetting those things which are behind, our baggage, right? And we're told in Philippians 3, 13 through 16, one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on towards the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And in front of me, there was a really warm golden yellow light or glow. And I believe the warm golden glow represents the latter rain anointing that will fall upon the bride as she enters the ark of safety during the 7 years of the tribulation. And I heard the words, quote, in yet 7 days. I answered and said, I'm thankful you've shown us what to look for in your word, unquote. And then I heard the words, you are in the ark. So the resurrection and rapture are after the tribulation, as we know. Jesus said he would raise up all of his people at the last day, which must also be the time of the rapture. The resurrection and rapture, as you know, 1 Corinthians 15 happened at the same time. But he said, I will raise it up at the last day in John 6 and 39 and 43 or 40. He said the same thing. I will raise them up at the last day. So let's be honest. The last day can't mean 7 years before the last day. So man lieth down, Job 14 and 12, and riseth not till the heavens be no more. He shall not awake, nor be aroused out of sleep. So notice the resurrection can't happen until the time when the heavens pass away. 2 Peter 3 and 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein shall be burnt up. So that day, Isaiah 34 and 8, is a year of destruction coming from the Lord. And of course, 40 days into that day is when the saints are lifted off. Obviously, the heavens could not pass away or the earth burn up at the beginning or even in the middle of the 7 years, or there wouldn't be anybody here to have a tribulation. So the resurrection and rapture could only be in the beginning of the last day, here called the day of the Lord, which we will see is a year long. Noah knew the Lord would come for him 7 days before the flood. He was given a sign to read in his day. Some will argue that Jesus said, of that day and hour no one knoweth. Well, the tense of the verb knoweth is present, not future. This spoke of Jesus' day, not our day. Jesus gave us a clear type so we would know when he would come in our day, in 37. As were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. The days of Noah are only mentioned in Genesis 7. Here it is, Genesis 7, 4. For yet 7 days, after 7 days, he's saying, I will cause it to rain upon the earth. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass after the 7 days that the flood waters were upon the earth. And God said that after the 7 days the flood would come, and of course they would lift off. All right, they would be above the flood. And obviously those in the ark of Christ will be raptured after the 7 days. Those 7 days represent the 7 years of tribulation, as we will see in many other places. So back to Claire. I remember thinking about the door of the ark that God shut and thinking that I am in the ark of safety, even though I was only in the doorway. Then the vision or dream ended. And the word I received by faith at random for this dream is Lamentations 3, 40 through 41. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Well, amen. So, we're headed towards a wilderness tribulation. The people of God, most of them, haven't the foggiest idea what's going to happen. A lot of them, you know, believe, that we're going to make this turnaround here at the very beginning of the tribulation and things are going to look better. But when all this is taken over and we go in the opposite direction, they need to be ready. They need to know what's going to happen. And that's why God is perfecting a man-child and bride ministry at the beginning of the tribulation in order to raise up the people like Jesus did for 3.5 days, 3.5 years. He raised up the church. They were prepared then to go into the second phase, which is when they went into the great tribulation of that day, and many of these people were martyrs. You notice in the book of Revelation, same thing happens. In the last 3.5 years, there was this period of martyrdom. And not everyone is martyred. Some are going to be alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Okay, but that's going to be, obviously, a prize that God is putting out before us, right? Yes, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you will cause many in these days to know the truth and know how to cooperate with you in this wilderness tribulation that's almost upon us here. Know how to cooperate with you in this process. You are preparing a refuge in the wilderness for the woman to raise her up into the image of Jesus Christ, to have her prepared for the second 3.5 years of the war that the beast is going to make on the true church. Okay? Lord, thank you that you are doing this. Thank you for giving us this time. You've told us that Trump was coming in order to give us time. We praise and thank you for that. Lord, many of your church are going to be greatly discouraged because they've been taught all this rosy stuff about fly away, even though they're not ready to fly away anywhere. And tribulation, through much tribulation shall we enter the kingdom of God. And they want to fly away. They're not ready to fly away. They're unholy. They're unrighteous because they've departed from the word, which you're about to show to them that you don't favor them in this evil cause. Lord, we thank you for granting repentance to a multitude of your people, bringing them out from among them so that they don't have to suffer the great destruction of the harlot. Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that you very quickly give a great favor to your bride and your man-child and infuse them with your power to rise up and do this work. It is from you, Lord. It is a gift from God. It is declared in your word, so we know we can believe for it. And we thank you for this great move of your spirit, Lord, in the earth, and a great move to deliver your people out of Babylonish bondage and cause them to continue to walk with you even through the days of great tribulation and trouble, when some will be martyred, others will be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, saints, thank you so much for joining us today, and God bless you. You may have to listen to this twice. I had to speed it up a little bit to get more of it in there. And keep on praying. Keep on exercising authority. You know, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. All right. God bless you.